The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Welcome, thinkbigradio.com listeners. Big here, your host today. I am. We have a gentleman on that's been in the music industry for over 20 years. It's going to be a real great interview. I'd like to thank you all for also spreading the word about thinkbigradio.com.
Yes, sir. I'm right here, Ms. Big.
Great. I am honored to have you on the show. We've interviewed a couple of your artists in the past. Finally, we've got the founder of this record company. And the first thing I would like to do is have you put out your contact information so that our listeners may be able to get in touch with you for future questions.
Yes, sir. Okay. Our record company organization is called Timbrell Records, affiliated with BMI Music Publishing. Our mailing address first is P.O. Box 108, Richmond, Virginia, 23218. Our corporate office number is 804-84 East Coast Office, 212-4014 or 804-929-9033. Also, too, we do have an email address that you can contact us. It's timbrel_records_music_publishing@yahoo.com.
Great. Now, to get into this interview, let's talk a little bit about yourself first, you know, before the industry, before your calling. You know, where are you from? Where are you born? Large family, small family? Just let us get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, yes, sir, Mr. Big. First of all, again, first I'm going to quote my name. My name is full name. It's William Arthur Upshaw III. And before I got my title, CEO with the record label, founder, and president, before the calling of the vision of the, in the music industry with the record label, from, you know, a fairly large family. Most of my family was musically inclined. A lot of the family members was professionals doing other trades and, professions. Like I said, basically at an early age, we started playing musical instruments. Preferably during the holiday Christmas time, my family used to purchase us instruments near the age of 2 or 3 years old, and we used to play early age. And then we used to do a lot of the talent shows in the house. We have family members come over, and like every Friday, we have talent shows in the house, and we have a chance to perform it, you know, when we were younger, early ages of our life. Then from there, went to schooling. Had good instructors, schooling, teaching, had good parents, had good morales, brought us up, right, raised us, right. And from there, early high school years, we started going on the field musically. What I mean by that, we started touching the nightclubs at an early age. And, okay, I'm sorry.
I was just thinking, I was like, wow.
Yeah, early age. I mean, it's really amazing because it was about, I can remember about 9, 10 years old or so. You know, I mean, nowadays, you know, anyway, during that time, it wasn't questionable for your child 9, 10 years to go to the nightclub. But anyway, the only reason why we was there because we was playing with bands at an early age. It's amazing because thinking back, we was being members of bands. some of the members in the bands was like 40 and 50 years old. And we was like 9, 10, 11 years old playing in these bands. And sometimes we go to the clubs, you know, we couldn't get to him, but the only way how we could because we was with the band, playing with the band. So anyway, upon all that experience, we saw a lot. We saw a lot of the club scene. We saw a lot of the, you know, a lot of things. I guess you call it street side of life and both sides. But at the same time, speaking that our morale was so strong, the same to our upbringing, that anything that we performed in the club, we didn't engage into any drugs or alcohol, respectfully, you know, because our upbringing was so strong, you know. And it was times early years, myself personally, they used to call me Professor. Because years when I was young in the bands, everybody have all these wild costumes, you know. And I used to come up with the school, used to have the little schoolboy glasses. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, used to have a little schoolboy glasses. I used to come out with the slacks and the white shirt, you know. And I was a misfit. And they used to call me Professor. You know, but at the same time, you can imagine. So, same time speaking, Mr. Big, that they really didn't eliminate me from the band because the way I can play, you know, the music. So, but make a long story short, through that, we had upbringing with the college, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then from there, you know, my spirituality connected, had a calling with God. You know, I had a relationship with God, and I guess that plus that equals to my calling. Now, my family members, my mother, she played music. She was a pianist. And my father, he was a major fashion designer. He did clothes for Sugar Ray Leonard, all the celebrities. And at an early age, on my father's side, I remember as a little boy, he taught me a lot of etiquettes. You know, like you know, when you go to the... Well, you know, I don't classify people, you know, rich, poor, middle class. But we went to some of the high establishments, you know, certain ways we had to place our forks, you know, and different things like that. He taught me a lot about that. You know, just a little etiquette, you know, that really stuck with me and in the flair of fashion. And so basically, Ms. B, all that together, you know, we had a chance to have a lot of family that lived in Detroit, Michigan. I remember a little boy when I was in the car, he used to play the Motown music, Supremes and everything. And but during that time, it was really amazing because during that time, these folks actually was living in, and doing their music. I thought about that a few weeks ago. You know, when he was in the car, when a little boy listening to music, the Supremes was actually live playing in clubs. Ain't that something? So it's really amazing. So as time goes on, you know, things change, music change. But anyway, I entered into the calling, established a relationship with God, and then it was a calling. And the first calling, the vision to the calling was this. Years ago, I remember on the East Coast, you ever heard of the terminology, Mr. Big? They always say, go west, young man?
Yes.
Okay, the reason why the music industry, they go west, because the west is California, Los Angeles. That's the entertainment capital of the world. That's why back then they always say, go west, young man. So my question was this, but I didn't do this so long. I said, well, why can't the people come east? You see, why can't they go east? See, right. So a vision hit to me from my years. I've seen so many talented folk here in the East Coast. I said, man, vision, I feel the vision to start this and try to help a lot of these people out here into the music mainstream industry, you know. And that was part of it. And that was during the time of 1990, October 30th, 1990. You might be familiar with Douglas L. Wilder.
I'm sorry, what was that name?
Douglas L. Wilder. Actually, he became to be the first minority governor in the state of Richmond, Virginia. And, you know, historical. And during that time, you know, we had relations. And then from there, we started, the company started out with a gospel label, strictly gospel. And come to find out that we had a historical mark, we became to be Richmond's first independent gospel record company on the East Coast.
Wow.
And it started out gospel. And then from there, I started getting all these calls from secular people, you know, doing rap music, jazz, and R&B. So I got a relationship with God. So they come to me like, you know, you can imagine my mental. I have The question was this. They said, sir, we know you do your gospel label, but we do R&B rap. Can you work with us? That was the question. So I had to give my answer. And my answer was this. Let me call you back tomorrow. See, I had to make a decision because of my relationship, you know, with God. Yeah, I can't compromise. See, so what I did was that night, I talked to God. And he told me to set up two different divisions. And don't forget, so we have somebody else take care of that division, the secular market division, and we got a gospel division. And don't forget. So there, you have something you call business discrimination, which you can't discriminate in the music industry, see?
Right.
So you can get lawsuits. So that's why we designed, that's what had happened, that we have, that's why if you notice the terminology of the name now, with Tim Production Records, gospel, multicultural music publishing company organization.
Hmm. I see.
So that kind of like sums it all up, respectfully, you know.
That's great. Now, what year did you start or did you finalize and come up with your finished product, which was the actual corporate name, and decided to just kind of like move forward with that particular corporation?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, take me being in the music industry. A lot of people get you to do seminars, you know, because of your status and, you know, role modelship with music and business. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, I shared with some vision spiritually that for every entity in life, every business you see out there in the world, these three things spiritually are in operation. First, you have what you call the name of the business. Mm-hmm. Number two, the logo. And number three, the operation. So what happened on Timber Records, that the logo came before the name came. It was amazing. And I'm glad you mentioned about the name, because I'm really skeptical about the name, missing information about the name. Okay, this is how it happened, how we found the name. Okay, spiritually speaking, from my calling, I guess you call it, the Spirit led me to go into the Bible. And I went into the book of Psalms. You might be familiar with the book of Psalms.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I read through the whole chapter, okay? And then I got down to the last page. It was going, getting close to the last page. And then you start questioning yourself, I don't know if it's the Spirit or not leading me here, you know? And then when I got to the last page, that was it. It was Psalm 150, verse 4. It said, praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Then when I saw the word timbrel, I said, that's it. That's the word. That's the name. That's it right there. It was like the name stood out, you know. It was a name that you knew it had definition, but you don't know what the definition of that name was. But for those listeners out there, and you as well, Mr. Bing, the timbrel name, that's the Egyptian name for the tambourine. The tambourine. The Egyptian name for the tambourine called timbrel. And we consider Timbrel Production Records an instrument used for praise. It's an instrument useful phrase.
Wow.
It's really amazing. And all is spiritually true. I'm about to come up with a book here shortly, Mr. Big, called The Timber Wall, and everything, all the experiences, everything spiritually, you know. But it's really amazing that I'm sharing this information because this is true information. Also, too, it's really amazing because the study history of the timbrel was primarily used by women, a lot of women in the days of Egypt. Now, if you've been to a church, who primarily pick up the tambourine?
The women.
The women. Really amazing. And it still goes on today, see?
You know, it's funny that you say that, because when I was, a lot of people use variations of their name for their company. And looking at your name, And I was just like, how did he come up with Timbrel? And I was like, but I know that name. I know Timbrel. I just don't know how is that associated with him. And then when you brought that up, I was like, oh, okay, Timbrel.
Yeah,
you
Timbrel.
Know, exactly. Because I knew it had to do with tambourine. I mean, that's, and, you know, I've been to churches as a child where that's exactly what they did. You know,
yeah,
they grab it, you know, and play it. So, you know, I like how you came up with that and the way you was led to name the company from that.
Yeah, Timber. And also,
nah,
too,
yeah.
Okay, I'm so sorry. So anyway, Mr. Dick, so the logo came before the name. I will show you how we got the name. But the logo was an Egyptian woman playing a harp. You know,
wow.
She was playing, you know, to sum it all up. And it's really amazing. But primarily, the tambourine, the Egyptian name of tambourine, Timbro, was primarily used by women in the days of Egypt when the armies went into wars, conquered the wars, and celebration. And so we consider tone production records our instrument, a vessel that people can come over the finished product, instrument used for praise, celebration, musically.
Wow.
Oh, yes. Oh, one last thing too, Ms. Big. Over the history of years, you know, some odd years, a lot of people are looking at the company format. And wouldn't you agree, a lot of people say that history repeats itself? So Timber Records, they consider Timber Records right now to be a second type of Motown, and they consider me a second type of Berry Gordy right now. A lot of people have been getting a lot of feedback about that. And it's really amazing because that's one of my role models, one of them, which is Berry Gordy with Motown Records. You know,
right.
We can go into deep with that, but I just want to share that little, you know, little note with you. And there's been a haven for, we've been helped for 20 years. We really, my goodness. We done helped launch the careers of so many people. I mean, it's really amazing how many people I met primarily in the music industry that we really had affected their lives musically. And I really feel good about that, you know, and we real what we do.
Now, I know you were mentioning earlier also about how the people in your family were inclined. And when we talked a little bit about a couple of your other artists before, you know, our interview actually started, how they seem to, you know, be inclined toward music also. Can you maybe share with us some famous people in your family that a lot of people may know of?
Oh, yeah, my most definitely. I have a cousin right now. He's a Grammy Award-winning male artist. Some may know by the name of D'Angelo, you know, Brown Sugar.
Okay.
And that's on my father's side. We come from a background of Indian ancestry, Indian. And that's one himself. I have another cousin. She lives in Germany by the name of Anita Davis. She's on the Polygram UK label. She do a lot of the plays like Peter Pan and, you know, Wizard of Oz, that type of thing overseas. And quite other folks, too. So primarily I just want to share that with you. Pertaining to my cousin, he was, you know, choir director and like I say, he got into the music industry with a person by the name of Kadar Massenberry. Kadar Massenberry right now is the president and CEO of Motown Records right now. And
okay.
Since the last time I talked to him, the label went through a whole lot of changes since Berry Gordy sold it. But make a long story short, that Kadar Massenberry started them years ago, and then Kadar Massenberry on the same production, he was working with, you might be familiar with Erykah Badu. Angie Stone, a couple other folks, and so my cousin connected in that arena, and he began to have relations with Angie Stone. She's another ex-artist. You probably remember some of the old sequence label artists, a song called Funky Up and all this type of stuff. I mean, it's just some old stuff. But anyway, but Angie Stone, you might be familiar with Angie Stone now. There's a new type of Angie Stone now than back then. But anyway, that's my cousin's wife. And they do have child. He have child by her, you know, little boy, little Michael. Her. So everything's linked there. So, like I said, so many other members, but I didn't mind sharing it with you. Upon courtesy of his label, you know, Virgin Records, and of course, media. Upon to be very brief, pertaining to his, you know, situations, the drugs, and et cetera. So, like I said, he's doing very well, and you know, like I said, God got his hands on him. And he's doing very well. And like I said, the media can do things and blow it out of proportion, you know. And what if people, sometimes the consumer go by what they see from the media and take it, and then the gossip starts, you see. But
right.
Sometimes you got to get it straight from the horse's mouth. So I'm here to tell you that he's doing fine. And right now he's still working. He's still doing business. And what he's doing now, a lot of the music that he's have out there now, what they're doing now, they're doing compilations. So what that means to the listeners to understand compilation, what it is, they're taking the same music and just remixing it and putting new pictures on top of it, see, and putting it on the market.
Okay.
So what he's doing now, he's producing a lot of people, you know, under the table. What I mean under the table, he's working inside, you know, producing like, you know, artists like Earl Badu, a couple other folks, you know, et cetera, and busy and being compensated at the same time. That's what he's doing.
That's good. Now, when it comes to signing people on your particular label, I mean, do you have a process that you guys go by, or is it just anyone that comes up with a demo?
That's a good question. Years ago, the beginning of the calling, with the start of the vision, me personally, you know, by me being in the music industry, I just know so many people, you know. I mean, I'm sure you do too yourself. And so that being in the record industry, this is what happened. We had so many calls that came to us years ago, Ms. Breed. I said, my goodness. I said, we'd love to sign all these people, but there's too many people. I mean, like 100, 200, 300 people. You know, just like the Bible scripture says, much is asked, much is required. See, if you take on 300, that's 300 people of work you got to do, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So what I had to actually pray. I said, Lord, I said, what am I going to do? How can we break this down? What can we do? And then, so he gave me something, you know, spiritually. He shared this with me. A lot of time we interview people and set appointments. One thing we do look at, he says, along with the anointing. For the listeners to understand what anointing is, you know, that means the power of your music that you express, your performance that people draw from, you know. It's along with that comes the spirit and the heart. All three got to be in check. This is what can happen. Seeing some inside stuff, personally, you know, this is what can happen. You could be on stage. We'd be on tour, okay? And say, for instance, like, you walk across the stage and you trip up on, you know, some chords or something, you know, by mistake, and then a curse word come out just like that. See? Uninvolutary, it just comes out, a curse word. That curse word went through the microphone. People hear that. You know,
right.
And then from there, especially, this is how it happened. We was doing gospel. See, it's not secular. We're doing gospel. And then to hear that in gospel by mistake, you know, people hear that. People get, you know, the eyes get like quarters, you know. They start looking at you.
Right.
Who is this guy? You know, and then it all comes back to me, you know, the headquarters, see. So that's why we're very critical. I mean, this is in the gospel format. We know spiritually who's who and who's not. One thing about the label, too, Mr. Big, I want to share with you, that we don't go out seeking people. Like, you know, oh, she looked beautiful. He looks good. He can sing. I'm going to sign him because he sings this way. We don't do that. From day one, everything is led by the Spirit. It's automatic that destiny brings the people to us. That's the best thing I can say. But key thing to ask your question is this, that one thing we do look, first of all, in the artist, that's very important. First of all, we always ask them this question in the interview. Why do you want to do this? Why do you want to be signed with a record label? And then what we do, we sit back and listen to what they say. You know, scripture-wise, you know, it says the issues of life come from the heart. So whatever you say, that's on you. You know, we didn't put two words in you. We just want to sit back and see what you say. And sometimes people come up with so many stuff. You know, I want to do this and make a lot of money. I want this to buy me some cars. I want to buy me BMW. I want to do this, you know, this and that, this and that. See, but we want to see where your heart lies. You know, why do you want to get signed with a record label? How you want to use your music? Why you want to do this? Why you want to get on stage? See, that's a very important question. So
now, do you find that when you have people that speak from their heart and they're not just looking more so for the material benefits of becoming well-known, that they tend to have a higher work ethic, or it doesn't really change the difference between someone who wants to just live the, you know, the high life with the many cars and fans and houses, as opposed to someone who just really wants to put their music out because it's inside of them. Well, how would you look at the different work ethics, or that part just doesn't really come into play?
Oh, yeah, that's very important. That's very important. Like I say, we have, over the years, I've said this too, Mr. Big, that there's nothing wrong with the material part. Don't get me wrong with that. It's okay to get the money and cars and everything else. That's no problem.
Right.
You know, that's for the package. But what I'm saying is a little bit more than that. It's more or less a mission. You know, even when you get signed to labels or artists, you have a mission. You have a mission to do, and you have a message to give to the people musically. See, so the thing is this, that to share with you pertaining to the work ethic thing. I noticed this is two class of people, artists that over the years that we signed, we noticed that they either go these two routes. Some artists are just like your babies, your children. You know, I mean, what is, you feed them, you know, they do what they do. They, you know, they do their work and they do what they have to do. But sometimes they stick to the label. They stick to you, see, and, you know, like dependency, you know. And but some artists, eventually they get what they get and they grow, and eventually they grow off, you know, they go off. They leave the home. Wow. And then these type of people that we see, what we do is we have a special honor for them. And what we do, we'll call them in privately and say, hey, we're going to let you start your own business. You can start your own production company. That we do, see?
Okay.
By them being an artist, and then they can help others, see? But
wow.
The only difference, now they being an artist, but they got their own production company, and we help start it for them, see? And then they can help other people by them being an artist and have their own production company. But for the other, you know, just particularly they're just artists, you know, they just want to do that and just stick with that. So like I said, but we don't tell these people to do that. We sit back and just let nature take its course and see, and then we act. You see?
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals. And your success makes us successful. Can you please get out that contact information once more?
Oh, yeah, yes, most definitely. Again, the Red Common Organization is Timbrell Records. The mailing address, respectfully, if you want to send submissions, is P.O. Box 108, Richmond, Virginia, 23218. Corporate phone, 804 area code, East Coast office, 212-4014-804. 929-9033, and corporate email address timbrell_records_music_publishing@yahoo.com.
All right. Now, if you had just 5 minutes to give someone the key to making it in the music industry, how would you let that person know exactly what they need to do?
Well, I'm going to pull it from my gut. And this one for you, Mr. Big, and Honor Your Network. I think the key to make it in the music industry is this. First of all, you have to be true to your calling. If you're a singer, songwriter, producer, whatever you do in the music industry, you got to be true to what you call it to do, number one. Number two, don't worry about the people. You know, the people always going to pick it up. Their energy, spiritual-wise, they're going to pick up. The spirits will know, going to recollect to them already whether you're true or false, you know. This is the main thing that to make it in the music industry. This is very important that we really stipple about sharing with our artists. It's all about the name. The scriptures, respectfully, in the Bible, being spiritually about it, that this in Proverbs it says, a good name is chosen among all riches. A good example is this. If you go to a supermarket, Mr. Big, and you have two bottles, okay, and you put the same ketchup in two bottles, okay, and you get labels, the first label you put on the first bottle is XYZ, and the next label you put on the next bottle is Heinz, okay? Heinz ketchup, okay? Which one would sell?
Probably the Heinz, because not only is it a name that we all know, but it's one that's been around, and it can be trusted, and it's been marketed effectively over the course of time.
Right, that's true, Ms. Big. But the key thing is this, both bottles have the same ketchup. See, it's all about the name. It's all about the name. See, the riches and the wealth follow the name. That's the key. The riches and the wealth follow the name. Also, for those who don't have the gift of creativity, pray for creativity. Pray for wisdom. Pray for creativity and wisdom. That's very important. But see, you want to do something in the industry that's beyond average. You want to do something that's rare that nobody never done before, you see? And that's important. And also, too, your connection. You know, you got to connect to the right people. That's very important. Connect to the right people. And one thing I know about in the industry, my early years starting off, don't be afraid to talk to big people. I call it big people. You just go. If you want to talk to Barry Gordy, call him up. If you want to talk to Obama, call him up. You know, just send your question. You're on the phone, just call. Just try to connect to him. Because, see, every human being has a heart. And all of us human beings are spiritual beings, we can identify with the heart. See, we know whether something's true or false. See, and once that connect, magic happens. And also, too, number one, always put the Creator, God Almighty, first.
Wow.
Oh, one last question, too, Ms. B, I'm going to share with you, too. It also, too, is good to study the old reference history books on the earlier labels like Motown, you know, Earlster Records, you know, all the oldest Redden, you know, pull up old clips, study how it happened. That's very important, too.
And that's funny. I was going to be actually going into my next question, like what books or mentors have you used to, you know, get you to the place where you're at now? And so you brought up that one should study just like the old business models and how they did it to see how they can kind of switch that around with today's market.
Okay. I'm glad to see it. There's so much I can share that's true, and I'm just thrilled to share it with you, gold nugget information. Right quick, some of my role models respectfully running to the industry past. Like I said, Barry Gordy is one of them, Barry Gordy, Motown Records. Barry Gordy started Motown back in 1959 in Detroit, Michigan. You know, just to break it down real quick. And amazing because where Barry Gordy was living at, you go down the block. You know, Donna Ross lived down the block, you know. And Smokey Robinson, like, lived up the street, and all these other people lived around the same area, see. But this is the key thing I studied was this, that people don't know this respectfully, that these artists were singing before Motown started. Ain't that something?
Right.
These artists were on the street corners. They was on the street corners. See, back then, they had what you call a doo-wop. They used to pull out cups and cans and be on street corners and collect money and sing on the street corner. See, they don't do it today, but that's how it was back then. And what happened, Barry Gordy saw something. He said, only if I can get all these artists on these street corners, incorporate them in a label, and start putting product in stores, stuff will sell. And that's what he did. He worked at the car manufacturing plant, factory. And it's a true story. And what happened was this, that it was an old man in the factory that had been in that factory over 20, 30 years, you know, in that plant that Barry Gordy worked in. Barry Gordy went to that man and shared this with him. He said, "Sir, how long have you been here?" He said, "About 30-some years." So Barry Gordy immediately said to himself, he said, "Well, my goodness, he's just a calling on his life to start Motown." He said, "Either I'm going to leave this factory and go out by faith and start this company, or I'm going to be here for 30 years and miss out on Motown." True story. And that's what he did. He stepped out by faith. He went with his family. Back then, went to the family. He got a meeting with the family. Because back then, if you want to get money out of the bank, you got to have a meeting with your uncle, cousin, everybody in one living room. And ask them why you want to get this money out of the bank, see? So he went ahead and got the money out, and he started Motown. You know, the rest is history, respectfully. But one thing that was very important, God gave us the spirit of choice, the gift of choice and free will. Back then, Barry Gordy started in 1959 Motown. Donna Ross was kind of like his side friend, you know, girlfriend, I guess you call it, make a long story short. Mm-hmm. But Barry was a great sale Motown, like 1960, right in that area, way before he just started. He was great to sell it. See, thank God, Donna Ross said, "Don't sell it. Don't sell this company so fast. Don't do it." If it wasn't for her to say that, Motown never been established. Back then, people don't realize it was more country western music back then. You know, a whole lot of country western back then. And God, for God's sake, if Barry Gordy never launched off his company, we'd be in a whole new frame of music right now. What made Motown so beautiful is this, Mr. Big, that was that it was a very positive company in the day of, you know, segregation. And everybody in Motown wore suits and dresses. They wore suits and dresses.
Right.
And then what that does, what that did to the consumer, everybody else started wearing suits and dresses. And people, I remember years ago I did an interview with Mr. Big, and people said, well, Mr. Upshaw, what do you think about these guys doing rap and wearing all these pants hanging off the, you know, the back and all this type of stuff? What do you think? What's going on? I said, well, it's not their fault. It's the record label fault. They're watching the videos from the record label. See? And if they change the videos in the record label, they go pull the pants up. See? That's where it comes from. See?
Yeah. No, that is, because I remember, not trying to give away my age, how the early 70s, you know, that's every artist that you've seen on TV had, they basically had suits. Now, when the more flamboyant came was, you know, like when Bootsy Collins, you know, came out and posed.
He went to the funk industry, James Brown. But anyway, but very quickly, Ms. Bill, to run it all up, some role models right quickly here. James Brown, you know, I studied some of this stuff. Definitely Michael Jackson. Bless his heart, Michael Jackson. Just running through James Brown, the reason why I'm going to give you a definition of why. James Brown, he's a workhorse. He's a hard worker.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson, he's a good businessman. Ike and Tina Turner, they give the good example. No matter what goes on with relationships as far as husband and wife in the industry, business goes on. To give that example, Ike and Tina Turner. Some other ones, my goodness, so many people. Wayman Tisdale, we had privilege to do a show with Wayman Tisdale before he passed away, actually a week before he passed. You know, Wayman Tisdale, blessed person. He was a jazz bass player from Oklahoma and, you know, NBA, et cetera. So he's very, very, very good. So, so many people I can just run through. My goodness. Smokey Robinson. My goodness. Jackie Wilson.
Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Yeah, Gladys Knight and the Pips. I will credit. They're good too. They're very good. And another thing I want to share too. Luther Vandross. I give him credit for he know how to get his singers to vocalize. You know, it's like a choir. You know, people don't see a lot of his inside stuff. If you hear these albums, Luther Vandross, he had a backup singer sound so nice and beautiful. He coordinated all these singers to arrange them voices himself, see, to do that. And he got that gift, see. And that's one thing I credit Luther Vandross about, even though he was a, you know, balladeer. But that's one thing about that, too. And like I said, there's just so many people that I can just run through that we'll be on here for hours, you know. But that's just a few people I'd like to share. And, of course, you got the funk time, you know, the funk era, you know, hip-hop, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But like I said, James Brown, he was a workhorse, you know. And despite anything, you know, the show goes on, you know. And just so many people. But also, first of all, before I, you know, getting close to the show, the closing of the show. Yeah, first of all, we'd like to thank you, Mr. Big. It's an honor to do this for you. You're just a role model yourself.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Most definitely. It's funny. It's really funny because a lot of times we tour, we be on stage, and I'm going to give you a little hint. I'd be on stage, you know, performing. We'd be on stage with artists, et cetera. My whole mental, what's going through my mind, if you see me, I'm looking in the back and the side because I'm looking at the promoter, you know. You know, and one thing we do on the stage is that, in other words, if the promoter's happy, the show could be happy. See,
right?
Whatever the people, you better look at the promoters. See, so when you see me on stage looking back to back and side to side, I'm taking a look at these faces of the promoters, see how happy they are. You know, and then another thing too, we address the people that we always give honor to whom honor's due on stage while we tour. You might hear me say sometimes, I say, well, let's give a hand for the promoter, so-and-so, because without them, you would not be having a show here tonight. You see?
Right.
See, so I make the people think a little bit. And another blessing, too, Mr. Big, that God really bless this company, that we're able to put our spirituality to be placed in arenas with people like Frankie Beverly Mays, R&B Funk, and everything else, see? But we have spirituality upon us. But then when it's time for us to get on stage, we kind of like set the mold of fragrance, you know, spiritually, you know. Now, don't get me wrong, we get down too now, you know. But
all right, I see.
You know, people can feel the element of where we're coming from, see. In other words, you know, you can party here tonight, but don't forget about God, you know. Always give thanks to God, see. Always give thanks.
Now, have you thought about expanding into different markets or branching out in the different entertainment fields?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question. That's why we listed a subtitle up under the company, Tim Production Records. We consider it a gospel and multicultural music publishing company. Because, see, right now we're starting to work with a lot of the Spanish, Espanol, music, you know, German, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, we get calls from people from Greece, entertainers from Greece, you know, all over the place. And, yeah, most definitely, yeah, we about that, you know, Jamaica, you know, things. And, yeah, we most definitely about that. And we, like I said, we are a multicultural record company organization. You know, we're not just limited. You know, we work with all nationalities, you know, in music industry.
Well, I'm definitely glad that we had a chance to, you know, sit down. I know you've had a busy schedule and, you know, you've been touring with a number of different artists. And, you know, just for you to be able to give us on ThinkBigRadio.com this time today is a blessing. And I'm sure that we're going to have people that's going to listen to this interview in the future and basically try to reach you guys to answer questions. Can you get out that contact information one more time and then, you know, give out some thanks to, you know, those who you want to thank?
Yeah, sure. Your name is Big. Like I said, again, the company name is Timbrell Records, BMI Music Publishing. The mail address, if they want to send submissions, P.O. Box 108, Richmond, Virginia 23218, corporate phone, East Coast office, 804 area code 212-4014, 804-929-9033. The corporate email address is timbrel_records_music_publishing@yahoo.com. And very briefly, Mr. Big, I want to share this with you. You know, pertaining to people consider this era time, the recession and everything else, just letting you know, it doesn't affect us. It doesn't affect us because, you know, God has his hand on his company, myself, and the artists, and we are blessed. I just want to let you know and let the listeners know. But what we did in respect, we developed a special package with the record company called the Presidential Music Industry Package. We released it last year, so we get more in-depth to share more detail when the listeners or the consumers contact us. And what this does, we slash certain prices of certain service fees upon record production, almost 80%. So it won't so it can be affordable to the serious minded songwriters, artists, and such, et cetera. Okay? But if they want to know more information pertaining to the package, they can go on the website, www.timbrelrecords.webs.com. Again, www.timbrelrecords, T-I-M-B-R-E-L, records.webs.com, and they'll get more information about that.
Great. I'd like to thank you, Mr. William Arthur Upshaw III, CEO of Timbrel Records, for coming on our show, sharing with our listeners little tidbits and way that they need to start to think in order to make it in the music industry. I'm sure that we have your contact information. Once again, I also like to thank all of our listeners on ThinkBigRadio.com and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Because without you, our guests and our listeners, we wouldn't be where we are today, which is helping those people reach their goals by making them our goals and helping make them successful, because that is part of our definition of success. Once again, I'd like to thank you all for listening. And at this point, tune in next week for another great show, another great artist, another great business mind, another great person. Thanks for thinking big, everyone.
Most definitely. Thank you so much, Mr. Big.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.